If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.
Know who you are at a deep level, archetypes, childhood heroes. Like, what am I really about? What did I forget about in my teens? Like, or what did I put aside when people told me it wasn't cool or it wasn't in my genre? And so by remembering ourselves, we actually find the secret sauce that makes your music special, your sound special, your look special, and that authenticity you talked about, the audience resonates with your truth. And if you don't feel your truth down there, you're not going to like your own career. The audience for sure isn't buying it. But when you're like, I stand behind this, I feel good about this, I feel good about that, I feel good about that, the audience resonates.
It's easy to get lost in today's music industry with constantly changing technology and where anyone with a computer can release their own music. But I'm going to share with you why this is the best time to be an independent musician, and it's only getting better. If you have high quality music, but you just don't know the best way to promote yourself so that you can reach the right people and generate a sustainable income with your music, we're going to show you the best strategies that we're using right now to reach millions of new listeners every month without spending 10 hours a day on social media. We're creating a revolution in today's music industry, and this is your invitation to join me. I'm your host, Michael Walker. Yeah! All right. Excited to be here today with the one and only Wendy Parr. She's coming back on the podcast. She's one of my favorite human beings. She's a holistic artist coach, artist educator, networking musician slash magician who spent more than 20 years in the entertainment industry. She's worked with artists like Sarah Bareilles, Regina Spektor, multiple Grammy-winning compositions, and she has a course called The Parr Method, where she basically helps artists to discover their unique voice and their branding. And especially in today's day and age, it seems like authenticity is both rare in a lot of ways and more important than ever, and you can really you can sense it when it's there. So hugely appreciate the work that you're doing, Wendy, and thanks for coming on the podcast today.
I'm so happy to talk to you, and it was a very kind intro. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, speaking the truth. So Wendy, maybe just really quick, I know you've been on the podcast before, but for anyone who maybe this is their first time hearing from you or connecting with you, could you share a brief introduction to you and your story and how you were able to connect with artists like Sarah Bareilles?
Sure. So I came up as an artist. I started working when I was 8 years old as a voiceover performer or singer, and I was developing myself as a recording artist, up until my 20s, what have you. And I went through all the things that artists go through, having a label saying, we don't know what to do with a 15-year-old who sings R&B. We don't. And then another label telling me you should be more like Alanis Morissette, someone, just really being misguided in many ways. And as well as just coming up in life being told, don't be you, don't do you, Wendy. It took me a long time to actually be me, that, tattooed. And I grew up being told, you're the good girl. You're supposed to be the good girl. So it just was a lot of unraveling for me to find my authentic self. And even in my training was technically amazing, but it really focused on being technically right. And so my voice got better and better, but my heart and soul was back here locked up. Mm. So where technique served me in getting more skills, it was a detriment to my heart and artistry. And then I had to unravel all that and find my way back to just being me. And like, how do I show up being me? Because I can't live any other way. Like, I can't live not just doing me. And then as a coach, and I started coaching when I was about 20, that was the process for me. Like, how can I support artists in being true to themselves and finding their own sound, their own voice, and throwing away the, there's a one way to sing or a right way to sing, but technique's really there to serve you. You know, if you watch a wild basketball player, or a great basketball player, I should say, you know, they might be really out of range for that layup, but they get the ball in and you're like, whoa, how did they do that? Right? That's what great skills are for. It's so that when you're in the game, you can roll with the punches. You can make, you can still win when your shot's cold. You're like, oh, I go to defense. I go to other things. I assist. So it's not about like, oh yeah, I'm perfectly aligned every time, because that's not going to happen in the real world. So skills should serve you to express yourself. And that just kept developing for me just as a coach and just as a person. I'm just very interested in like life and what am I about and what are humans about and like what matters to us and how can we curate a life that feels good? So helping artists do that with just across the board, like there are very few artists know their whole aesthetic, know like, this is what I want in my music video and this is an expression of me. Most of the time you'll make a music video or you choose a single and before that video comes out, the artist will say, no, I'm not feeling it. I don't want to put it out. Or you just spent money on it, time, it's part of a campaign schedule. How did we go from like, there's an idea for a music video, cool, let's do it, to shooting it and all these choices and actions to by the end going, no. So that means the artist isn't clear about who they are, how they want to express, or they don't know how to communicate it with the team. So that's led me to create my 6-month artist development program, really helping artists be able to know who you are at a deep level, archetypes, childhood heroes. Like, what am I really about? What did I forget about in my teens? Like, or what did I put aside when people told me it wasn't cool or it wasn't in my genre? And so by remembering ourselves, we actually find the secret sauce that makes your music special, your sound special, your look special. And that authenticity you talked about, the audience resonates with your truth. And if you don't feel your truth down there, you're not going to like your own career. The audience for sure isn't buying it. But when you're like, I stand behind this, I feel good about this, I feel good about that, I feel good about that, the audience resonates. And now that's going to be greater success and a career you really like. I'm wearing my hat today because one, I'm a hat person, but two, I'm in between like where I was with the buzz cut and where I'm going, which is I don't know yet. So I can't show up like this because this isn't me. I'm like, no, this isn't my vibe. So we're going to be in hats for a couple months until I get where I want to go or I buzz it off again. And then I go, yeah, that's me. I can show up like this. I feel good. I can't show up with that in between hair. It's like, it's so basic. It's so
spoken like
basic.
A true branding coach. Yep.
But it's so basic. Like, we all know what it feels like to have a bad haircut. And you're like, no, this isn't me. Don't look at me. No, it's not. This isn't what I feel like. Well, times that by a million with your sound and your look and your visuals and your social media content. Like, that's all way more important. But it's actually the same thing. Like, I don't feel like I'm being seen for who I am or how I want to be perceived or how I want to share myself. So the clearer we get about that and we can nail it and then communicate it, now we're talking.
Love it.
That was my short answer, apparently.
It's perfect. I mean, it's super interesting, you know, just identity in general. You know, like, identity just shapes so much of how we show up and how we behave and sort of the relationship between our identity and our ideal identity. And you mentioned like how we want to be perceived. I'd be interested in hearing you discuss more about that idea in particular, like how much of our identity from your perspective can be decided or chosen. Like, let's say that I don't feel like I am a, and I'm just, you know, hypothetically you're saying like, I don't feel like I'm XYZ artist, but I would love for people to perceive me like that. Do you think that that's something that people can intentionally decide, you know, this is who I want to be, this is my intentional identity, and then show up and then, you know, and then do that? Or do you think that it's more important that rather than you're trying to kind of intentionally come up with that, that they let go more than anything and sort of uncover their identity that's already there.
I'd
be curious. Awesome. So yeah, I'd be curious in hearing your perspective on like, how do people get to the root of that? And you know, how does someone become aware of what their actual identity is as opposed to what they think it should be or right. other people have told them it should be?
Yeah, I think that there is a term called perceived value, and we all know it. Like your Instagram is full of it. You're like, you know, people who rent a car on the weekend to pose, like that's all perceived value. And I'm not going to lie. I mean, some of that's some of that's important in the world we live in, unfortunately.
Yeah. Because there's that social proof element. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, if I can make people think it's valuable, it becomes valuable, as opposed to no, it's valuable. And people know it inherently because they resonate with it. They see it, they get it. So that's a thing, perceived value. Again, I think though, if you're living on, I'm going to show up being who I want to be. Now, I think everything I say, you got to take with a grain of salt. Let's say you want to be a person with more integrity. You want to be a person like the want to is actually your ideal self. Then strive for it. Absolutely. I'm striving to step into that more and more, right? Mm. Like I want to be more confident to talk to people. Strive for that. But if you're like, I want to be like, okay, 5 feet tall, badass, but not, I don't have the stardust of a model. If my Instagram is full of me posing like a model, I want to be a model. You're like, what are you doing? It's literally not your stardust. It's not who you are. You know, my Instagram, for example, there's a lot I like about it. It's very organic. It's very raw. I'd like it to even be better with the branding. I'd like to have a better production value, more polish. And we'll get there. But like right now it's me and my small team. And when I can like hire out and have it more dedicated, then it will. But I've asked people, like, actually someone commented to me recently, like, I love your Instagram. I was like, oh, thank you. That means a lot to me. Like what, that fact that I'm sharing that it has value to you is the most important thing about my Instagram to me, not the polish. The polish can come. And you see that happen with artists. Like when you get more success and you have a stronger team and you have more money, they're like, oh, I have time to like go to the gym now. I have time to do this. I have someone handling that now. Like you see that all happen. And he's like, yeah, it's just very organic. And I'm like, you know what? To me, that's the more important thing than the polish. Especially what am I talking about with people? Like being authentic and real. So I'm like, oh, if that's the biggest thing that people are getting from it, that matters more. I can look at pages I really like and go, I really like the way this is. It looks great, but it doesn't have actually authenticity. It's just pure marketing choices. That is so, it's worse than not interesting to me. It's negative, right? It's detrimental. So I think it's most important is to be true to like, who am I actually, including like the shitty stuff, like where can I improve on those things, right? Like these are my character defects. Okay, can I accept them and can I improve upon them? But most importantly is like, who are you? Like one of my favorite questions to ask is, think of your three childhood heroes. Like who are your childhood heroes? Who did you love as a kid, fictional or nonfictional? And look at those characters, like what do I love about them? What were the qualities I loved about them? Because that's you. Like you are admiring and connecting to parts of you that you love. Lean into them, bring them out. Where are you not being those things? So looking at childhood heroes and like what adjectives would you use to describe them? And then go deeper. Go look at the visuals. Go look at all the things that made you like them, because you're going to see things you forgot about. And my childhood heroes, they all fly. Peter Pan, Superman, Grease, even the musical Grease, they end up taking off in the end, they fly. There's a sense of justice, moral justice, like helping the world be a better place. There's magic in that. Peter Pan, magic, enchanted child. That's one of my archetypes. So if I look at my heroes, I'm like, yeah, there is a sense of like empowering others and lifting people up and flying freedom. And so if I go deeply into all of them, and then, you know, basically I've had like a, you know, Danny Zuko, Superman, Peter Pan haircut my whole life. And I actually went from the pixie Peter Pan to the more GQ Buzz style haircut later. And when I got the haircut finally, I was like, I've wanted this haircut my whole life. And when I look at the pictures of my heroes, I'm like, it's actually that haircut. But I wasn't thinking, oh, give me a Superman haircut. I was thinking, I want that 1930s GQ men's cut that I've always loved and I've never gotten. I'm like, that's the haircut they have. And when it's humid, I actually get like that elephant curl, that elephant trunk it's called. It happens very naturally. So I think that, you know, we need to look at who were we when we came into this world? Who were we before the world had a lot of, you know, dumped a lot of stuff on us? Who were we before teenage, middle school told us the qualities aren't cool. You need to be something else. And bring out all the wonderful, weird layers of yourself and learning how to use the different layers. Like, how do I let this aspect of me and this aspect of me and this one all coexist in my work and my art? That's what we want. You know, we want your voice. We want your weirdness. Everybody's weird. And we'll resonate with parts of you, and your audience will resonate with that truth of you.
So good. Yeah.
And you just get to show up being you, which is just so much more relaxing. Like, I don't have to try to be cool. I don't have to try to be, I just get to be me. That's easier to do.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's a lot easier to just show up and be yourself than actually having to put on your front and doing something different. One quote that comes to mind is, I think it's Dr. Seuss, be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter and those who matter don't mind. And it seems like that's a great lesson too, is that, yeah, even if you do happen to be successful being someone else that's not true to you, and you build an audience around it, now you have to now you have to show up and be someone that you're not.
That you're actually going to suffer for that. Like, the minute you're trying to fit in, you are not being yourself. So better to be yourself and build a whole world and community that comes into your world that's like, we dig who you are. Amazing. I just get to be me, talk about the things I care about, give the message I care about, the way I love to do it. Because there's definitely, you know, historically artists and right now artists that are, I'm going to put in quotes, successful. What does that mean? Financially successful? But who don't like the music they're making, which means they don't like their day-to-day life. That's like, no.
Yeah, that definitely feels like one of those that, you know, that the death exercise of kind of imagining you're on your deathbed about to say goodbye to everything. And, you know, if we're lucky enough to die a natural death, like, we're all going to have that experience. But really, like, getting in tune with that and imagining looking back makes it really clear. You kind of have like a die before you die kind of moment. And, you know, I know for a lot of people, they've said when they had a near death experience, it kind of woke them up to what's really important, what's not. Yeah. And definitely it seems like being someone that you're not, it's almost always something that we regret later. We're like, I should have went for what I really wanted.
Yeah. And you know, like, being a parent, that does it too. Like, just when my wife was pregnant and having kids, like, just a whole bunch of stuff was like, not important. This stuff matters more. And like the motivation and priority for things change. I just think, even in my day to day, like, when I get upset about something, like, those moments, I remind myself, like, is this really worth being upset about? Like, in the scheme of life, you know, and we make drama for ourselves. My 2-year-old makes drama. Like, it's part of survival, apparently, actually. When things feel really good, your biological body's like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. We create problems so that we look for danger, so that we're more on alert. But like, those little things, I have knee-jerk reactions, like, oh my God, the sky is falling. I'm like, really? Is it felt? Like, can we not? Because, like, I got a day to live here. Like, do I want to spend it in that energy? Or, like, another tool that I find really, really helpful is go to your baby pictures, particularly, like, age 8 and earlier. Again, before, like, the world kind of got on you, right? Oh, I won't be able to find mine because all my, like, years of photo organization got wiped out. So all my albums are gone.
Oh, no.
Yes, it's pretty sad. Oh, well. But basically, go to your photo albums, find a picture or three of yourself, and have one on your screensaver, and have one on your side of your bed, and have one, like, a framed of yourself. Like, see yourself as a baby, as a young kid, and connect, because that is you. That's you before the world said, no, be something else or no, whatever. And by connecting to that energy, I don't even want to tell you what happens. I want you to like DM me and say, oh my gosh, this is what I'm experiencing. So look at yourself and see yourself and then show little you like the world you live in now and the friends you have now and the life you have now. They will be very excited. Like, what? We're doing what? We get to do this, you know? That's a really good way to connect to yourself as well. But I think that the Childhood Heroes is one. My mini course Navigator starts is a taste of Compass, and it starts giving you like those questions to ask yourself. Like, oh, let me explore this a little. Let me explore that. And then Compass, which actually we have our next cycle in 1 month. So applications are open right now, and we have early bird until I think Wednesday this week. We're in the early bird registration, and we've got some amazing artists coming into it. And I would say if you think, oh, I'm probably not good enough for it, everybody thinks that, apply. If you're not ready for it, we'll direct you to the other courses we have. But a lot of people think that even when they're like very successful, they're like, oh, no, I'm not good enough. It's just it's a human fallacy, and it's definitely a creative's belief. But Navigator starts with these questions. And I think that like I said, the Childhood Hero question is a great place to start. I also think just looking at patterns in your life, like just go open your closet. How would you describe the clothes in your closet? What colors do you see repeating in your closet? You know, one artist I work with, whenever I see them dressed, I'm like, you're cozy. You're just like so about comfort. Like I see a music video of you like in the clouds. Like it should feel like I want to like just like this. It's like, oh, I just want to wrap myself up in there. And she said, that's so funny. I was thinking about a music video with clouds. I'm like, yeah, your clothes, just it's always cozy, cozy. Not casual, just cozy. And it was like seeing that is like, oh, yeah, that says a lot about like who I am or what I want my music to feel like or what I might want a video to feel like. So look at your world. I'm going to turn my camera around for you. This is my studio. That's where everybody gets to chill, including me. So this is an antique Indian daybed, like 1860s, with a bunch of French fabrics. And I designed all of that. I picked every fabric. And the main mattress, if you flip it over, it has that blue and white fabric. So it's got like a summer version and a fall, winter version. And if you see these colors and you see the Moroccan stuff and the Turkish stuff here, like you go, oh, that's Wendy's vibe. That's my thing right there, right? So I love patterns. And when I literally show that to my graphic designer and my logo maker, you're like, ooh, you like warm colors. That tells them right there, warm colors. And that particular red and that particular blue, like those are colors I see in my world a lot, in my clothes, and this very rich, deep red. Today is a black and white day. It's actually a green day. Green pants.
Don't want to be an American idiot.
This is my green day mixed with black, gray, and black. And this is how I dress. I pick a color. It's my theme. And then I'll mix patterns. So I've got this black and white, gray and black, and this gray and black, and this black. And so that's how I recognize myself. I'm like, oh, I like monochromatic, but I like patterns and textures. So that shows up in my clothes, that shows up in my website, that shows up in my logo, patterns, textures, warm colors. And when you know these things about yourself, it doesn't get boring. Like, this isn't boring. Like, and I'm not always in the same color, but there is a formula, or that's not the word I'm looking for. There's a pattern to my style, right? So when you know that, with my graphic designer, same as he was doing my website, and I was showing him graphic designs I love, but I also just showed him things about myself, right? Like this. And he's like, and I had learned this word previously. He's like, texture, you like texture and patterns. Okay. My website does not have a flat background. There's a lot of textures and patterns. And then that translates into my deck and my workbooks. Like, so that's a really important like language that I learned was texture, patterns. And so and it's funny because my hairdresser, Betty the Barber, I love her. We're talking about like, you know, okay, I want to go somewhere with my hair. And she's trimming my hair and she's like, oh yeah, I've looked at your Instagram. You like, because I was saying I like texture. She's like, yeah, and you like flow. You need movement and flow. And I'm like, this woman is good at her job. Like she sees me as a whole and then goes, oh, yeah, that's part of her hair. She needs movement and flow. Like, she's right. Right? And again, knowing that means, oh, don't cut my hair too short or I lose all the waves, which is the movement and the flow. So if it's too short, I lose the thing I love. And so isn't that funny? But you're like, you figure these things out as you go. Like, you're just asking yourself all the time, like, oh, what makes me feel good? What do I like about this? And then what are the qualities? Maybe I need to ask the person I'm working with, like, how do I describe this? And then you start learning, like, I know that, like, you're always going to see me with tea.
What kind are you drinking?
This morning it is High Garden, one of my favorite tea shop, actually, period. High Garden Tea. It's called All Better Little One. It's so my kids can drink it too, but it's like an immune booster. So I got this one. It's a really beautiful flavor. And some really good honey from France. So, like, I remember when I was a teenager, I was working with a guitar player and he was playing something. And I'm like, what is that? Like, how would I describe that to you if I wanted you to play like that again? And he said, oh, these are arpeggios. I was like, okay, I love those. Okay, now noted. When I work with a guitar player, I now know I love arpeggios. Okay. He played something else. I'm like, what would you call those? It's like, those are power chords. I'm like, okay, I hate those. Don't play those. But I didn't know the language. And so I'm asking, like, how would I describe this to you to tell you, like, what is the language you need? So learning the things that you love and then the language to communicate them is the key for working with people. And again, just knowing yourself. Like, what do I need? Even my tea, I make my tea. It's never like a singular flavor. It's like five because I like texture. I like depth. So it makes sense.
Totally makes sense. Yeah. I mean, this is super interesting. I mean, part of where my mind goes as well as you're describing, you know, how to communicate the style, you know, and put it into words. I can see that being extremely important in general, right? It's really like, it's what you do is like, you help people communicate, you know, who they are and their style in words. Where my mind goes to as well is thinking about the current state of, you know, AI technology and, you know, the prompt, you know, prompt engineering and knowing how to communicate. And that's, yeah, I think in a similar way, it's, you know, it's about figuring out how to, you know, use the words that communicate the style that you're going for. And so I can totally see the work that we're focused on right now, the work that you do, being extremely valuable for defining your style, both to anyone that you're collaborating with to create artwork.
Yeah. I mean, from what I understand, and I know you're way more in like into the knowledge of AI than I am, but from what I can see and understand is that the prompting is essential. Like it's going to send you off track or closer to where you want to be. And then you've got to learn how to, so the prompting is essential. And yeah, that's the ability to describe adjectives. You know, I describe compasses helping the artist have the ability to point everyone to the dartboard of me. This is the dartboard that is me. This is where we're aiming for. There's the bullseye. So once everyone can see it, oh, now aiming all in the right direction, like fine tuning it. And we just get better and better at hitting the bullseye. And then it doesn't stop. You go inside of it and you go a little deeper and then, you know, you got influenced by something else and now, oh, wait, I want to add this into this dartboard. But you're never going to go, that's the dartboard, that is me, and then the next album. Okay, now we're over here. No, this is the dartboard, and then we add layers. Or we go, oh, I want this layer to come up more now. You know, that archetype was more on the side. Now I want that to take the front.
Super interesting. Yeah. The other thing I really appreciate about what you brought up with the exercise around looking at your childhood heroes and finding, you know, what did you appreciate about them? What did you admire about them? And using that as a way to reflect on, you know, this actually says something about you and what you resonate with and your brand. Our last podcast was with Ill Factor, who was talking about music production and about his recommendation around finding references and using those references and doing it in an intentional way that isn't about copying somebody else, but it's more about figuring out what do you resonate with. And there's a reason that you resonate with, you know, certain aspects of the things that you appreciate and really kind of honing in on that. I love that strategy.
So speaking of that, I have a course and it's part of Compass, but I have its own course called Sound Chart. And it is a three-step process to look at, this is the music I love. and then start to distill the actual elements of, well, what is it I love about this music? So one artist I'm developing, we discovered that, like, oh, the bass that she likes is very Skrillex. It's like, that's not the genre she's in at all, but the bass is that kind of from that sound. So it's like, oh, okay. So now you know that's your bass sound. You know, whereas like, you're not going to go through packets and packets and packets of bass and be like, well, is it that? No, not. Oh, no, no. That's consistently the kind of bass sound you like. And then we can keep looking at the ingredients of those things. And then the third step is it actually distills into a recipe of, like, these are all the ingredients I love and want in my music. And now you're not copying anybody. You're just recognizing, oh, this actual instrument or this actual tone or this actual message. One artist discovered that their love songs all had a certain type of point of view. They weren't pining love songs. They weren't, like, yearning. They were, like, over here. I'm not going to say it because it's their work, right? But, oh, it all had this kind of tone. They were like, that makes so much sense. So now they make sure that when they're writing songs and all the messages is like, this is the type of love song I like to write. That clarity is like, I mean, just gets so basic. Don't give me a flowery tea. I don't like flour. I like roots and bark based and tree based, earthier. You're like, okay, now my selection is like honing in. So we have to keep honing in. So that sound chart not only gives the artist, not just give you like, oh, I have a whole library of musical references now. But if you're working with someone, they're not going to listen to your whole library, right? Give them the samples, right? Like, here's samples, and then I can even hone it down. Like, these are three references for this song. But if you have a recipe on paper and you go, these are the ingredients, now let's have fun exploring how we bring them to life. Is the dark and edgy, is it in the vocal? Is it in the lyric? Is it in the synth? Is the feminine, playful, girly in the lyric or in, like, the harmonics or in an instrument? So it's on paper, but now you got to bring it to life, and that's where you get to play. And is this ingredient everywhere in all the songs, or is this just like, oh, this is just in three songs, this is everywhere? Because that'll change the tone, right? Even right down to BPMs, you know, artists will find, oh yeah, my songs are, like, generally upbeat, generally ballads, or like, oh, I'm kind of in the middle all the time, and then I have a couple songs over there. And you see it in artists. You know, Justin Timberlake has little to no super slow, vulnerable song. Like, there's one in the set. And the you know, he's a showman, it's up here, it's fun. And then John Moreland has one song that's like, this is my upbeat song. And it's like a little more upbeat than his very sad, very make you cry, very we're all outsiders, feeling like outsiders together. And that's because that's their character.
Super interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Wendy, you know, we do have a live audience that's here right now. And I would love to open the floor to anyone who's here that has a specific question that they'd like to ask Wendy related to their artist identity, their artist branding.
Love that. So, yes, please.
All right. So I see Jess asked a question here. He said, great advice, Wendy. Do you have any other tips for artists who are struggling to find their own style and they have very, very broad tastes and enjoy almost everything in life? I'm talking about myself, of course. Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty common one. It's like, I love everything.
Yeah.
Same thing with music fans. Like, what do you like listening to? Everything. That's always what people say.
Well, I think, you know, if you think about, like, okay, I'm going to go on tour and I'm going to play these same songs for the next 3 years. And if I'm really fortunate and I have a hit, I'm going to be singing it forever. It's like, well, what do you want that music to sound like? And that can, you know, evolve, obviously, from record to record. But it's still at the core, it's like, what do I want the band to be like? What do I want the sounds to be like behind me? Like, what do I want to be singing to? So I definitely recommend Soundchart because it's going to help you really distill, like, well, it's not just that I like rock or I like whatever. It's like, oh, these are the actual elements that I like. So now I can bring that into my sound. And I'm not doing a rock sound per se, but I have this guitar, or I have this element, or I have this drum sound. Or when I first did my first sound chart, I was shocked that I had, like, no hip hop, because hip hop was, like, a core of everything. Like, if I go out, I listened to Latin music for 2 years, nothing but Latin music. And then when I'm, like, was done, hip hop was back on, like, always listening. I love hip hop. But my playlist only had two hip hop songs, and they were both Tupac, and they both were samples. It's like, one was like a Bruce Hornsby sampled piano based song. And I was like, I can't believe there's no hip hop. But what there was gospel. I'm like, the root of what I love is the gospel. and the gospel music being uplifting, the gospel music being having a divine and important or like uplifting message, the call and response, like that is everything I do has call and response, whether it's like vocal to guitar answering or in one album, a sitar answering or actual like vocals. Like I love call and response. So I was like, oh, the root of my hip hop is actually rooted in gospel. And then rooted in the gospel, these are the actual ingredients I love. So you can really have some fun discoveries from that. Because, again, in Soundchart, I actually take Silvina Moreno. She's making her fifth record when she took Compass. So she wanted new motivation and inspiration. And you watch me take her through the process. And in it, she discovers there were two songs. There was a Pink Floyd song, Super Respectable. And there was a Backstreet Boys. And she's like, oh, I'm kind of embarrassed. I like this song. I'm like, they were big for a reason. But when we looked at them, I saw common qualities in both of those songs. I went, wait a minute. These two songs, this is something that is in both of them. And then I also see this in a couple of their other songs. So perhaps that's the thing that you're actually like loving about this song. And so now it's not like, oh, that song's embarrassing. It's like, oh, actually, I love it because of XYZ. Now I know XYZ needs to be in my music.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Wendy, it's always a pleasure to talk to you and bring you on the podcast. And for anyone that's here right now who's interested in learning more, you know, what I love about what you offer is that, you know, there's a few different entry points where people can connect deeper. You know, what's the best place for people to go to connect deeper if they're interested in exploring?
Definitely wendyparr.com, P-A-R-R. Everything's there. I definitely recommend joining the mailing list. We send out blogs and creative tips and my Instagram. It's all on my, everything is in my website. The pathway of all the courses are there. So they're written in order. Like there's a mini course that's a taste of Compass. And then it's written in the order, but you actually can take, I would do Blueprint first, but like Soundchart, Voice Maps could just be like, oh, I need this now. Like I want to dive into the sound or, oh, I want more vocal variety and style in my voice and how I write. Like, so you can actually take those in either order, but there's just different, just really according to your need. And everything there is everything I've been teaching for going 30 years, like one-on-one. I was like, okay, well, what do I do with artists? How can I make a program that really offers this to more people?
Amazing. That's super valuable. All right. Well, let's go ahead and let's wrap up the podcast for today. Do it good old fashioned. Yeah. Hey, it's Michael here. I hope that you got a ton of value out of this episode. Make sure to check out the show notes to learn more about our guest today. And if you want to support the podcast, then there's a few ways to help us grow. First, if you hit subscribe, then that'll make sure you don't miss a new episode. Secondly, if you share it with your friends or on your social media, tag us. That really helps us out. And third, best of all, if you leave us an honest review, it's going to help us reach more musicians like you who want to take their music careers to the next level. The time to be a modern musician is now, and I look forward to seeing you on our next episode.